I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Mostly cloudy, smoggy, 35 degrees. KSL's top story. The Utah Senate president is trying to clear up his health status after he tested positive for COVID this week. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports.
Officials with Senate President Stuart Adams' office says they have been closely looking at all the CDC guidance after he tested positive on Tuesday. They say he immediately took another test, which at first appeared negative, then crossed over into inconclusive territory, but took another one after that, and that came back as negative. His staff says they are following current guidelines, and health officials say that it is common for someone to test positive for several weeks after they originally get the virus.
The Utah Department of Health website says people should stay home for 5 days, even if there were never any symptoms. The CDC says after 5 days of quarantine, you should mask for an additional 5 days. Utah's state Senate has voted to ban mask mandates in Salt Lake and Summit counties. Yesterday afternoon, we learned this. The deputy director with Alliance for a Better Utah, Katie Matheson, says the new joint resolution comes with a record high COVID cases.
Truly one of the more frustrating, mind-boggling things I've seen the legislature do in recent years.
Matheson tells KSL News Radio's David Dejanovic she thinks the Senate is taking away local control because they don't like the mandates in Salt Lake and Summit counties. The joint resolution still needs approval from the state house. The COVID vaccine site at Legacy Event Center in Davis County is shutting down. The county health department says the last day slated for the drive-through clinic is next Wednesday. If you're looking for a booster or first dose after that, you can go to the department's other location in Woods Cross. The Test to Stay program in Utah's schools, it's on its way to officially being suspended. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz reports the House voted today to pause it.
This bill says schools don't have to do Test to Stay anymore, but if the governor, Senate president, House speaker, and state superintendent decide, they can implement it again. It also clarifies how schools can move to remote learning. They have to hit Test to Stay threshold of cases, get the decision approved by their board, and submit a letter justifying going remote to those same state leaders.
House Democrats argued today there wasn't public input or a committee hearing on the bill. The Republican who sponsored it says they needed to move quickly so schools would know what to do. President Biden acknowledges that Americans are exhausted as he marks 1 year in office. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, speaking from the White House, President Biden acknowledged the enormous challenges created by the pandemic.
After almost 2 years of physical, emotional, and psychological weight of this pandemic, for many of us, it's been too much to bear. We're in a very different place now, though. We have the tools.
Mr. Biden promising that the economy is looking up and things will get better. He also admitted that he may need to break his spending plan down into smaller chunks to get it through Congress. The Senate is headed toward a showdown over voting rights legislation and the filibuster. Democrats can only pass the voting rights bills if they kill the 60-vote supermajority that is needed to actually take a vote. That doesn't sit well with Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Our colleague from New York will try to kill the character of the institution he is supposed to protect and to serve.
McConnell not mentioning that he killed the filibuster to push through Supreme Court nominees. New York's Attorney General today issuing subpoenas for former President Trump and two of his children. In a court filing, she says Trump's firm repeatedly misrepresented the value of its real estate holdings as part of a pattern to make it seem like he was wealthier than he actually was. The AG is trying to compel the former president to testify in a civil investigation. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Utah has the second lowest poverty rate in the nation. That's the new finding from the Utah Women and Leadership Project. Their founder, Dr. Susan Madsen, says people in this state oftentimes are more likely to help each other.
We have a great state in terms of volunteerism and just being aware of some of the struggles in society and wanting to help. And And so I think even though we're doing better than some states, that doesn't mean that we need to not worry about poverty. We don't need to worry about homelessness just because we're a little bit better.
Comparatively, Utah's doing really well. Madsen says 6 years ago, Utah had the 12th highest poverty rate, now the second lowest. A former lifeguard at the Provo City Pool is suing that city, saying she was sexually harassed and raped. Now several former lifeguards are coming forward saying she's not the only victim. KSL News Radio's Martha Harris has more.
The woman says she reported to her supervisor that a man was harassing her throughout her shift. She says the supervisor did nothing. Then the same man raped her in the parking lot as she was leaving work. The lawyer representing the case, Erica Larson, says she's recently talked with several former Provo lifeguards who say it was very common to be sexually harassed at work. Some weren't surprised to hear a fellow lifeguard was assaulted. A former lifeguard and supervisor at the pool told KSL he thinks most of his fellow supervisors didn't know what to do if an employee reported being harassed. He heard about this woman being raped during a staff meeting. He says they then told female lifeguards to wear shorts over their bathing suits, did a 15-minute sexual harassment training, but he says nothing really changed. Martha Harris, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 4:06.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.